I live in one room with a good view of the wall. I make cups of tea and wander in the hall. I sit on my bed and cut my fingernails. I try on a shirt that I bought as a jumper.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good whenever you happen to be listening. Welcome to Tea with Kehoe. I'm Kehoe. I got my tea next to me. And this is week 3 of quarantine. That's right, folks. COVID-19, the coronavirus, it has moved through this country and is, you know, taking its toll. But we can control and be smart about it by staying at home, keeping our distance, keeping clean, washing up, and being smart about it. And I think we are being smart about it. But I have fear that certain people in certain parts of the country might not be taking it as serious as they maybe should. There are parts of the country where it hasn't hit like it has for us in New York State. And I'm 8 hours away from Manhattan and, New York Central, as, everyone thinks New York and everyone lives near the city. And I am so far away from it in Buffalo and Western New York that it's like two different worlds. And Erie County itself has a very low number of reported cases compared to New York City. I mean, exponentially lower. But that is merely because I think testing is lower in this end of the state than it is in New York City, where everyone is getting tested and they're really going through and being diligent and being smart, where here we don't have the equipment and or the tests available on such an extreme number because of our population being so much smaller. So I fear our low numbers are not a true representation of what's going on because not enough folks have been tested. And that's sort of the fear of what's going on, and that's what is keeping me doing what I'm doing and staying inside and not going out and not interacting with people and not socializing and trying to be smart about it. Yes, I have to go out and buy groceries every now and then. Yes, I have to help out my parents and get them some groceries because both of them, I believe, are, at their age, they're a little bit more compromised and they're a little bit more susceptible to this, I feel. So they're staying in. They're not coming out. And we're going out and buying them groceries and leaving it on their porch and letting them know it's there. And then we leave. We have been doing our best to keep our distance. They wanted to come out just for a ride the other day, which is still good because you can quarantine in your car, quarantine, and as long as you don't, go interacting with folks, you can take a drive and everything. So they took a drive over here to pick up some groceries that we bought for them, and it was a nice enough day that we all sat on lawn chairs in the yard, at least 10 feet apart from each other. And we talked across the distance, and it was weird, but it was what we do now. And we've been playing Farkle, which is a dice game, if you're not familiar, with my parents over video chatting on our phones. And we'll play some Farkle, and it's been good. So we're trying to be smart about it, and I think that's what we all need to be doing, is taking our time and being diligent with what we do. Because I might not get sick, I might never get sick, but I might be carrying it and not, you know, have it affect me. And if I have something that I don't know is, you know, going on, and I'm going around another person, they could get it. I mean, it's logic. It's just, it seems sensible to think that that's how it's going to work. And why some people just don't get that. The fact that the medical boat that sailed into New York to help with this whole thing, to help people, you know, when they get the disease and all the kind of stuff. And hundreds of people went down to the dock to watch the boat come in. And they were, like, all hanging out around each other. I'm sorry. That is dumb, people. That is dumb. You should not be doing that. I've heard of, like, just locally, our county executive had to close down or tell people to stop going to the Eternal Flame at Chestnut Ridge Park. And I think there's, like, the falls at Akron Falls. To stop going because people don't know how to keep their distance. And yes, we, you know, you're allowed to go out and be out in nature and be out in the world. But when you do that, you still have to keep your distance. When we go for walks, and we like to go at night because it keeps our interaction with people down to a minimum. But we have gone out in the daytime for a walk to do a little bear hunt. People were putting stuffed bears in their windows, their front house windows. And we were walking around trying to spot the bears. And we found like 20. So it was a nice little day trip. But we were around other people, and we had to cross streets, walk in the street while they were on the sidewalk. And it struck me as odd that we were the ones that were moving. Like, there were folks that were walking down the street that had no intention of moving when they were on the sidewalk. They were just going to keep on walking. And if we didn't move, we would have just walked right past each other. And that's not what you're supposed to be doing. Why people don't understand that we all need to keep our space and just keep our distance. So we don't do a lot of day walking because we don't trust people. But it's, you know, when you have to tell people specifically stop doing things because they just can't seem to figure it out themselves. And that confuses me. It boggles me. It makes me wonder how smart this country is. And frankly, I personally think since the late 90s, early 2000s, maybe, I think more, you know, when we had all this negative, I think, things happened to the educational system where we were gearing for testing and not preparing kids for, you know, I think the educational system has been a little twisted and it's a little effed up, and it has succeeded in its, I think, its overall purpose, what certain aspects of government and or institutions have achieved their goal of dumbing down the American populace, because nothing is, you know, dumb people are easy to control. A uneducated, simple-minded populace is easy to manipulate, brainwash, and excuse me, control. And it's, I think it's been a systematic dumbing down of America over the past 25 years. And it's working. It really is working. People are afraid of the truth. They're afraid of science. They're afraid of logic. And because of that, we are in the position we're in with the leader we're with. this unethical, this morally bankrupt, degenerate president who is disgusting every time he speaks, blaming nurses and doctors for stealing personal protection equipment. Like they're hoarding it, like they're keeping surpluses in their houses. The only reason you think people will steal is because you're a thief. I mean, that's how it works, it seems like. You know, you see all these religious guys who are always bitching about, you know, sex is a sin and all the horrible things, you know, that comes with sex, and they always talk about how bad sex is, and then they're the ones who are caught in, you know, prostitution rings or gay love affairs and all these things that are, because that's all they think about is dirty sex, because that's what they think is, you know, that's where their mind is. They're the perverts. They act like they're the holier than thou folks, but when it gets right down to it, they're the ones who are, you know, tainted. So when all you think about are those things, I mean, and Donald Trump is a thief and a con man and a liar. And so everything he says is a lie. Everything he does is a con. And he thinks other people are the same way because that's the way he is. He would rob, he would hoard the masks. He would steal the stuff. You know, that's how he works. That's how he thinks. So that's how he thinks other people are. And that's what makes him such a horrible, horrible person. I really was hoping that there would be one thing we could give him credit for. And that was rising to the challenge of what is, you know, here and being a decent human being, but that, you know, has been proven impossible for him. And I was really hoping that he would do the right thing and put, you know, other people in front of himself, but that is absolutely impossible. He is a sociopath, plain and simple. Everything is about him. He's more concerned about his press conference numbers than he is about people's health. That is the type of person, self-centered, egotistical person he is. So I was hoping he would be a decent person and stand up and meet the challenge, but he couldn't, and he won't. So we are stuck, you know, with this idiot. I mean, telling state governors to, you know, basically, if you don't, you know, kiss my ass, you ain't gonna get shit from the federal government. That's not how government works. You don't demand tribute from your governors for them to get things. You don't need, you know, you don't force them to play nice with you. It's your fucking job. Do your job. Do what's right for this country first. But you can't, so you won't, you fucking piece of shit. Believe me, folks, there are things that I would like to say, but I will not, because I know what could happen if I truly speak my mind. And I wish no, you know, ill will against anybody. It's just some people really deserve or need to get what they deserve. And sadly, that will never happen either, because apparently evil flourishes while goodness is kicked aside. I think that's goodness's fault. Goodness and kindness and niceties and pleasantry and, you know, all those good things in life, they're not tough. They're not forceful. They're not controlling. Therefore, it's very easy for those kind of things to just be brushed aside. Because evil is strong. You know, a smile can be slapped off a face real fast. And the sad thing is it takes a long time for a smile to maybe develop. And a smile to really take root and, you know, happiness to bring out that smile. And the evil of the world can smack that off in a second. You never hear of a frown, a person with a frown being smacked across the face and they're immediately smiling and happy. No, you get smacked across the face when you're happy and it changes your attitude. And some people are stronger and they can take that smack from evil and brush it off and keep going. And, you know, I think a lot of us do that on a daily basis. A lot of us brush off the evil of the world and the shittiness that we encounter and the crap that's out there. And we take that little slap to the face and we brush it off and we just keep going about our day because that's what you got to do. But, you know, happiness doesn't come, you know, come around and smack you. You know, joy doesn't kick you in the gut. Kindness doesn't steal from you and ruin your day. It just seems like evil and, you know, misery and sorrow is a lot more powerful than happiness, joy, and serenity. And I don't understand why people being happy is such an incomprehensible thing. I mean, once again, people who are miserable and are angry all the time will be miserable and angry all the time. It's not just in their work life. It's not just in their personal life. It's their life. If, you know, if you're just not happy and you're miserable, that's overpowering. And it really is, you know, controlling and tough to break. Where happiness and joy and peace and serenity is unfortunately not as strong. I mean, with most people. I think with some people, with everything, some people just have that ability to persevere. And I want to believe that I used to be that type of person. And I think life in general, things in general have, you know, the evil of the world is beating me down, is wearing me down, is pulling me to places I don't want to go. And I have to, you know, fight those negatives and those challenges. And it's, the fights aren't easy. And they have gotten harder as I've gotten older. Because when you're young, you think, you know, this is just how it's going to be for a little while. I'll figure it out. I'll make it happen. I think we're all like that. And I'm going to be hitting 50 in May. And I'll be damned if I figured anything out yet. I mean, I've gotten myself finally into a decent little job. Something I could call a career. Look forward to making it such. I have found my way into a beautiful relationship and smart enough and learned enough to know how to keep that relationship and to keep myself happy and her happy in that relationship. So I've learned those things. And, you know, I've had all these shitty little jobs over years and years and years. So now that I have something decent, I'm appreciative of it. And I care about doing a good job. And I want to be, you know, good at what I do, which I think is what we all should want to do. We should all want to be, you know, good at what we do. Even though it's not our life's work, it's not our, you know, passion perhaps, you still want to try and do it the best you can. So I learned that, you know, through time. You know, I've become a better, you know, I've become better at math, better at, you know, spelling, better at thinking, better at all these things as I've grown. But have I learned anything about life, about how to obtain happiness, how to keep it? I don't know. And I'd like to think I have the philosopher's, you know, mentality of looking at it all and taking that step back and having that grand view of it all and being able to look at it and say, here's a path, here's a way, here's a, you know, a course to take through life. There is no, if there's one thing I think everyone has learned, that there is no path, there is no one route. And the minute you think you're going down the right route, life will come up and tell you, no, you got to change because you're going down this route now. Because that's what happens. I mean, when New Year's hit, when we were celebrating New Year's, January 1st, we all knew there was something going on in China. It had been going on in December before Christmas. So we had an idea that something was happening. But were we concerned about it? No. Were we thinking about it? No. Were we making plans and preparing for the year? Absolutely. I mean, May 31st, I'm supposed to get married to the woman I love. May 22nd, I was going to be in Ireland drinking a beer, which I don't normally do, but I was going to drink a Guinness in the bar named John Kehoe in Dublin, Ireland for my birthday. This is going to be a great birthday present planned. You know, we were going to go to, I believe, you know, we had planned to do Columbus for a trip, but then a snowstorm changed that. But and then when we tried to reschedule, we really couldn't because things started to change so rapidly. And we're all heading down one path. And this virus, which we all had an inkling about in January when the whole year started, came in and just took over. And it told us, no, you're not going to be walking down this way. We're all going to stop and change directions dramatically. And we're going to go over here. And that's where we are now. And until things get better, this is where we are. In a lockdown, in a quarantine, in a self, what's the term I'm looking for? A self-isolating thing. You know, we're staying apart. Now, we are in lockdown together, so if either one of us gets sick, we're both going to get sick, so we're trying not to get either of us sick, and that is the goal for everyone, and I surely hope we can achieve that. I surely hope we can find our way to going out and, you know, going to a ball game, going to a outdoor concert in the summertime, to a point where we can, you know, walk down the street and not, you know, wait in someone's driveway, you know, until someone passes by, and then continue your walk. I can't wait till I can, you know, hug my kids, and, you know, not worry that I might have given them something or I might have gotten something from them. But life keeps coming by and saying, no, you're going down this path. So if there's one thing I have learned is you cannot take anything for granted, because you just don't know what's going to happen next. Like a big old sip of tea. So, I just went rambling on there for a little bit about this whole experience we're in. I guess we can call this the COVID-19 episode. It's pretty much what I've been on my mind. It's pretty much what's on everyone's mind right now. And I didn't want to spend a whole show talking about it, but sometimes what's on your mind is what comes out, and might not always be the most pleasant of topics, but it is something that, you know, I needed to talk through for myself and maybe for you guys. I don't know. So, any comments, any feedback, please get it to me, as, you know, I'd love to hear it. Either on the Anchor site, you can leave a message, an audio message of, you know, there, or the Tea with Kehoe Facebook page. Just type in Tea with Kehoe on Facebook. You'll find it. Leave me a message. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you're thinking. And we're going to wrap it up this week. It's just me alone here. But as we normally end the show, be kind to one another. And in this environment, in this time and place we are, that kindness is even more so. And I think this is the sort of time where we all need to make that extra effort. Call up someone you know and love that you might not have heard from in a few weeks. See how they are. You know, talk to them for a while. Don't just send a message. Make a phone call. If you can video chat, do that. If you Zoom, do that. Face chat, Duo, whatever you got. Make those connections. But don't just say, hey, how's it going? And then let that be it. Make the extra effort and talk. Communicate. Reconnect. We've got the time. We might as well use that to bring a little happiness and joy into someone else's life and hopefully smack a smile onto someone's face. You know, it's funny, you place a smile on someone's face and you smack it off. You know, I'll smack that smile right off your face. I've heard that said. But you never hear, I'm going to smack that frown right off your face. No. It's, you can remove a smile with a smack. You can't remove a frown with a smack. Frown just gets more frowny. So take that extra effort, be kind to each other, be nice to each other, be a nice human to somebody other than yourself. Don't forget about yourself, but don't focus solely on yourself. Share that kindness with others, and the hope is that that kindness will be shared with you. So let's try and be better than evil. Let's try and be better, stronger than evil. Let's try and win and have goodness and happiness win for a change. How about that? I'd like that. I think a lot of us would. We can all make that happen if we all just, join the army of happy and fight for some goodness for a change. So, have a great night. Have a good week. I will talk to you next time, next Tuesday. It's not about the tea, it's about the time spent. Thank you for spending your time with me. I'll talk to you soon. Be wonderful. And time to turn it off.